Father God, we come to you now and we pray, Lord, that you will open the eyes of our hearts, that we may behold wonderful things from your words. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you this morning. Lord, we just pray that you would help us remain focused this morning to concentrate on your word. For we ask all of this in thy loving Son's name. Amen. Now, if I repeat something that's been said earlier or something that was said last week, it's just, I'm going to repeat it because I wrote it and sent out the message and Neil nicked it and Andy's spoken upon it. So there we go. So when you're sitting out there and somebody's preaching your sermon, you think, whoa, I'm going to do that next week. So I always think there's a reason why God does that, because he wants you to know and he wants to endorse his word. So here we go. So today is the first Sunday of Advent. They've told you that last week and they've told you that this morning. And Advent starts the countdown to Christmas.
I was told.
The lights go off, I can't see the music, the microphone's in the way. No, it's right. I was reading Daniel this morning. If you want to know about the enemy knocking, you have a little read through Daniel. That's good. Right, so the list are being made. What you're going to get for Christmas, food-wise, the list are being made for you to put up the chimney. And if you were here last week, these words don't go together. So that a jolly old man, he was a grumpy old man last week, he's not here today, the real grumpy old man. He's gone off to visit parents. But I was accused of being a grumpy old man. It's an age thing. So anyway, there we are. So, and as Andy said, Advent simply means coming. And this is the first coming of Jesus. And towards the end of the sermon, we'll be thinking about the second coming of Jesus. That's the day we're all longing for, especially with an election coming. That would be great if the Lord came before the election. I won't have to make up my mind who not to vote for, but there we go. But Advent simply means coming. So my title for today, as you can see, dead ends lead to new beginnings, lead to hope. And I hope as I journey through this passage of scripture, you'll see that. And I could have started with the long list of names from the beginning of Matthew 1. I could have started there. 42 generations from Abraham. And in that you will find a prostitute, kings, and various other people that you might recognise in that list. There'll be Boaz, the mother of Ruth. And you'll find people in there that you didn't know would be in the genealogy of Christ. It's worth a read through and see if you can palm off some of them names. But it's 42 generations. So let's have a look. Dead ends, that's where we start. So the genealogy that goes is that God had dealt with his people, the Israelites, and he'd made those people his own. And he has picked out Abraham, and through him he created a nation. And then through Moses, he gave his people his laws. But before Moses even gets down from the mountain, the people have already made a craven image. They're already worshipping a cow, if you like, for simple reasons. A golden cow they'd made. So Moses smashes the laws, and later on he has to go back up the mountain to get another set printed off by God. And if you follow through the Old Testament, you will find that the people of God, the Israelites, reject him, they disobey him, they get captured, they get taken into exile, they then start worshipping again, and God comes back and brings them back. Normally to Jerusalem, but he brings them back. But as soon as they're back, the process starts again. And we have this whole cycle through the Old Testament of God's people rejecting him. He rescues them, and then they worship him. And he has said he sent his prophets into the world to proclaim his word and to try and get them straight. He's performed signs and wonders, but still they turned away from him. So really it's 42 generations of frustration for God. And is this the time when God has come to the end? He's come to a dead end with his people. And Jesus explains this in a parable. Although we're not doing a parable today, but this is a parable. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. He then rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. That is the story of the prophets that came to tell the Israelites. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them, Jesus Christ. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. He went to the place called Golgotha, and they put the cross up. That's the story of the Old Testament and Jesus Christ coming. So Joseph is the man in our story, and this is his dead end. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary had pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. If you've been around Neil a while, you will know some of his sayings, some of his phrases. Deep, you all know. The other one goes along these lines, like, "Liz, where's she gone? Liz, you need to hear this." Now, when he starts like that, you may think it's something terrible. But he normally says, "You're doing a wonderful work at Witten. You need to hear this." And that's how he goes. It's a famous saying. But his other saying is, "We need to get rid of the elephant in the room." He always looks at me. I've lost nearly a stone in weight. Ask him how much he's lost. He'll stand up here New Year's Eve and say, "I'm going to go on a diet this year and lose some weight." But he always says, "Let's get rid of the elephant in the room." And the elephant in the room is Mary's pregnant. She's with child. She's expecting a baby. Imagine that conversation with Mary and Joseph. "Joseph, I'm pregnant, but it's not yours. It's the Holy Spirit's." How would you feel? How would you react? Is this woman insane? Can this happen? This is Joseph's dead end. The woman he's going to marry is with child. and it's not his. All his dreams and hopes are dashed. I wonder if you've been in situations in your life, not quite as severe as that, but equally damaging. Your business, you've lost your job, you lose your business. Your husband or wife has cheated on you, divorce. You and your spouse become ill, critically ill. The death of a loved one. Debt, not being able to pay the next bill, no money coming in. These are things that bring us to a dead end. And what do? Where do you go? There are some things you cannot even reason with. Your mind is in a mess. And for a lot of us, we will have been in this situation. We got a phone call this morning at 8 o'clock saying that my brother-in-law has been rushed into a hospital with septicemia. And you would know, well, some of you may know that he's been suffering with cancer for the last 5 years, but he had a bowel operation a few weeks back, and today is a result of something like that. But when the phone rings at 8 o'clock in the morning, you can't even think. We were still asleep, which we never do. We're normally up. Well, I was up at 4. So whoever's got my Facebook page, they will see that I sent something at 4 o'clock in the morning. Phyllis knows, because we often have a conversation at that hour of the morning. But your mind is all over the place. You've come to a dead end. You don't know what to do. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had the mind to divorce her quietly. You see, most of the world will go to the same situation. We will cry out to God. Why, God? Why me? Why have you let this happen? And yet, as Christians, we need to know a bit more. Joseph is an honourable man. He has Mary's interests at heart. His thoughts are to protect her. However, we have this verse on the wall over there that says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It's hard to grasp those words when something in your life is difficult. But God has got your life in his hands. He knows what tomorrow brings. He said, it's no good worrying about tomorrow. Think of today. It's no good worrying about tomorrow because God has got your life planned out. He knows. He knows when you get up. He knows when you sit down. Knows everything about you. And if we were to look in our Bibles, we would find nothing that tells us how Joseph feels. You can look through your Bible and think, well, how did he feel? It's not explained. And sometimes we call out to God in these situations and expect an answer. So for those following Christ, do we really trust him for the future? Do we really? Matthew 20:21 we read, and it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name of Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. It's not every day that in the midst of your problems, an angel will appear and help you. But in the midst of all your problems, Jesus is always with you. He is always there. You need to tell him. You need to tell him your problems before you go to anybody else. When you come to that dead end, tell Jesus. If an angel appears, it's a massive blessing for you, all right? And it's also confirmation that God is with you. So we have a new beginning for Joseph. The Bible tells us how Joseph feels. Well, he doesn't tell us how he feels, but it shows that Joseph listened to what God had to say. And he obeyed him and trusted him. The biggest way to show God how much you love him is to trust him. So if you want to know and say, God, I love you, then trust him in everything. That's the biggest way. And as you trust, your faith will grow, your trust will grow, and you'll get closer to God. And the closer we get to God, the easier it is to load everything onto him. So do that. Now, so we have to be really the things that Jesus and God tell us to do, we need to be obedient and to trust. And Joseph is an example of this. And he moves on. But he does say, you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the Bible tells each one of us that we're made in the image of God. And it's interesting, isn't it, that when Jesus came down to earth, he made himself in the image of man. It's almost a roles reversal. Philippians 2 says this, who being in very nature a God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. Jesus has come down to be with us, to be Emmanuel, God with us. And we can rejoice that the Holy Spirit has come into us so that we may have God with us continually and forever, that he's there. But is your dead end really your dead end? Where are you going when your life comes to an end? But it's also a new beginning. A new beginning for God, because he has sent his son so that the whole world can see how much he loves him. He sent his son as a saviour, and he sent his one and only son. There is now hope in the world. Salvation has now come into the world, and the only way to heal the rift between God and man has arrived in the form of Jesus Christ. And this new beginning leads to hope. He says this, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Many years ago, I went to an auditorium, and I was promised that a star would be there. And so I got to this place early, and I got there. And when I walked in, all the seats were taken, and I had to stand at the front. And I thought, well, this is good. I'm near the front of the building. Oh, it's good that the star's going to be somewhere around here, so that's fine. So I stood there, and as I look around, I saw some people I knew, and I nodded, you know, as you do, hello, nice to see you, and all this. And all of a sudden, there was a sort of a hubbub of noise. And they said, she's here. And it all went quiet. And the side door opened, and this great big tall bloke walked out and stood right in front of me. And at the same time, the back doors of this place was flung open. And this bloke said, please stand. And a piano started playing. And round the corner came the star of the show. The present Mrs. Dorling appeared round the corner and started to proceed towards me. See, she had made a promise a couple of years earlier that she would marry me. And so I only had to, we went out for 4 years, but I only had to really wait 2 years. But that promise was fulfilled when she said, I do. And so that's harmony. See, I'll let her do the reading. Liz, did you notice I never said a thing? Did you notice that? Harmony, I didn't have to have an argument. 45 years later, we're still here. Right, so, but that promise was fulfilled when she said, I will. She said, I would. She now says, I will. And so, 700 years, the prophets foresaw that Jesus was coming. And it took that long for this, because God's timing is always perfect. And this was the right time for Jesus to come. The Israelites were oppressed, and there was hope in their lives, but they didn't recognize, and as that parable says, they wanted to kill him. But this was the fulfillment of their Old Testament promises. And all this took place to fulfill that the Lord had said to the prophets, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And in the whole of history, promises and prophecies are complete in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to this glory of God. People ask me, what is hope? And we will say, I hope the weather stays nice today. I hope she will turn up. I hope I find it. Our hope is built around uncertainties. But for the Christian, our hope in God isn't just a wish or a dream, but a sure confidence of what God says will happen. Our human hope is based on uncertainties. But because all of God's promises are fulfilled in the Bible, that is the Old Testament, and because what has gone before, it gives us hope. For a number of years, I have had confidence in this verse, and it says this from Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I've been following that. That was perhaps the first memory verse I ever learned over 50 years ago. And it's still in the forefront of my mind, because this is what gives me hope. Because I realise that the fulfilment of Jesus coming fulfills all the Old Testament prophets. And all the prophets that say Jesus is coming again, when in Acts 2, I hope it's Acts 2, it'd be before then, it'd be the beginning of Acts, when the disciples watched Jesus go up to heaven, and the angels come down and said, while you stand in here, this man will come in the same way as he's gone. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, I have confidence that what I read in my word is going to happen because of what's gone before. Because all the prophecies have been fulfilled, I know that the remaining ones will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes again. And he will come again in glory, and he will take those who are waiting back to heaven with him. And for those who pass away, for those who know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth and the life, I've gone off track, sorry Andrew, will know that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, then if you believe that, then when you pass away, you will enter into glory with him. Philippians 2 says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of the servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. For us to have eternal life, Christ had to die, and he had to die a painful way. And I've said, and you know, the only way to heaven is to believe in Jesus. The verses in John 3:16 to 18, we know the first part, but do we know the rest? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in this is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God and God's one and only Son. I said last week, when Jesus comes, I want to be found guilty of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And that is something that I think we should be proud of, not in ourselves, but proud that Jesus came to die and to save us. That we should tell others, because there's an urgency, and at Christmas the urgency should be even more, because it's another year, another day closer to Jesus coming back. So we should have an urgency to pray and to tell others of Jesus, an urgency that Advent brings, the first coming, which heralds the second coming. When was the last time you had a chance to tell someone about Jesus? You have a chance, because there's many services. The 22nd, get your folks along, get your friends along to the morning, to the evening service, where the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached, and you have a chance to then say to them, what do you think about all of this? Getting them into church may be difficult, but we'll supply mince pies, and that's always a good draw to bring them in. Well, anyway, let's pray before the band comes back. Father God, we just thank you that Advent proclaims your coming, and Lord, we thank you that it also fulfills all the scripture from the past and to the future, that one day you are coming again, one day that glorious day will happen, Lord, the question is, will we be ready? Will we be the ones he's come to correct? Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know that, pray they would talk to somebody over this Christmas time, or even now, about how they come to know Jesus. We ask this all in thy name. Amen.